Conclusion. Dance with the Tiger. 33 Rules to Remember. We're all professional negotiators, aren't we? Most of us don't think of ourselves this way, but we're all trying to make agreements every day. We're negotiating. Some of us do so haphazardly, maybe even lackadaisically, while some of us realize that since we're always negotiating, the more skillfully we do so, the better off we'll be. Presumably, the readers of this book are in this latter category. You want to be better negotiators. You understand that there are levels of qualification, just as there are with any skill. The purpose of this book has been to provide you with the most basic, minimal qualification in a system that can profoundly change your life in negotiation. Now, you take it from here. I wrote in the introduction that my system is pretty easy to understand in its basics, but requires discipline and patience and practice. I'll stand by that statement here in the conclusion, but I do realize that learning doesn't come automatically, not at all, and that many readers will have difficulty implementing some of the more counterintuitive principles of my system. Just say no, for example. I know this about the readers because I know it about my clients. New ones always require a considerable adjustment period. Many have been negotiating cream puffs their entire business lives, always worried whether they're being sufficiently win-win-ish. And now I'm asking them to go out and tell someone no. The adjustment takes time, as I've said, 800 hours, according to one study I give credence to. So how exactly should you go about settling in with the CAMP system? First, and as I've suggested from time to time in the book, I recommend you try out the most straightforward, discrete principles and rules of the system. At the end of this conclusion, I'll list 33 succinct rules, a nice, catchy number that will serve well as a summary of the system, as catalysts, as jogs to the memory. The rules are not listed in any particular order because everything within my system connects with everything else, so every rule works in conjunction with every other rule. Before you read this book, most of them, such as no closing, would have made no sense whatsoever. By this point, they definitely should make at least some sense. When you read no closing, you know I'm talking about neediness on your own part, which you want to control, and about anxiety on your adversary's part, about feeling pressured, which you want to avoid. Likewise, you know that no talking refers to neediness on your own part, to the necessity to blank slate, and also as a reminder that asking questions and listening is preferable to answering questions and talking. The clearer the picture of the pain, the easier the decision-making process reminds us that we cannot tell anyone anything, but can only help them see for themselves the pain that has brought them to the table. Every day, or week perhaps, jot down as many of these rules as you feel comfortable handling. Review them in the morning, then try them out during the day, off and on, here and there. Find a fairly risk-free situation in which you can say no, and be sure to toss in some nurturing and an interrogative-led question as well. Amanda, I can't do that. I just can't. But I sure want to work with you. How can we find an alternative solution? In a situation in which you feel a little conflict brewing, simply ask, "What would you like me to do, Jonathan? I'm at your service." Try the Columbo effect in an innocuous situation and be a little un-okay. Run out of ink, run out of battery power, whatever. When you find yourself talking too much, try the simplest reverse there is, combined with an interrogative-led question. But enough from me, Pete. How do you see all this falling into place? The following day or the following week, jot down a different set of rules, and the following week yet another set. Mix them up, because they all work together. At this test drive stage, you're not trying to put these activities in a broad context necessarily. All you're trying to do is convince yourself that they work. Two goals will be achieved. You'll become comfortable with them, and you'll see that they do work. You'll have a lot more hits than misses. Why? You'll be implementing valid goals, behavior and activity, over which you can exercise control. Watching out for neediness, asking good questions, being un-okay, saying and requesting no, blank slating. These are all valid behavioral goals. In Chapter 5, I mentioned the daily track that my clients maintain as a way to monitor their behavior and emotions as they affect the negotiating process. That critical assessment of behavioral goals helps us pinpoint our weaknesses, work with our strengths, and develop self-esteem. It helps us assess how we're spending our time, how we're absorbing the material, how we're doing as a negotiator. I urge you to set up your own daily track, a sheet on which you ask yourself how often and how well you've controlled your neediness, been un-okay, said no and asked for no, nurtured, reversed, used the 3+ technique, connected, asked interrogative-led questions, taken great notes, accepted a bad decision and corrected it with your next one, and contained your emotions. I realize it's easy for me to make this request, and it's even easy for you to plan to do something like this, but in today's hectic world, it's difficult to actually do so. I'm under no illusions here, and as a coach in absentia, I don't enjoy any powers of oversight, much less enforcement. But the exercise will pay dividends for everyone who gives it a try. Now you're ready to give the CAMP system a simple try. So in the first stage, you get comfortable with basic principles, basic goals, basic behaviors and activities. And you're always paying forward, of course, building self-esteem. How long do you devote to this stage? I have no idea. However long it takes for you to become comfortable enough to proceed to the second stage, you move from the test drive to the shakedown cruise, if I can mix the metaphor. You're ready to implement the system in one specific negotiation. I'd choose a pretty straightforward one, a situation that you feel comfortable with already, maybe not the most important one in the shop right now. I'd say to myself, okay, here we go with the CAMP system. Let's just see what happens. You're not expecting a mistake-free performance. Your neediness is under control. I suggest beginning this first test negotiation with a 5-step process. First, you make certain you have a good, strong mission and purpose that's set in the world of your adversary, one that's designed to let the adversary see and decide that the benefits and features of your product or service or whatever are what they wish to acquire. See Chapter 4. Second, you make sure that you know the adversary's real pain, the real reason they're negotiating. You ask questions. You create vision. See Chapter 9. Third, you assess all the budgets involved, time and energy, money, and emotional investment for both you and your adversary. You never forget about these budgets. You monitor them at all times, and you see how they seem to be influencing the decisions on both sides. See Chapter 10. Fourth, you make certain you're dealing with the real decision makers. See Chapter 11. Fifth, you don't make a phone call, you don't write an email without writing down an agenda for that phone call or email. See Chapter 12. Of course, I label these activities first through fifth, but you might be dealing with one or more at the same time. And as you're setting up the basic path for the negotiation, you're always reminding yourself about the behavior goals you practiced in Stage 1. You blank slate, ask the good questions, and so on. It's all part of the same package. Periodically, you sit back and take stock, not just with a daily track of your behavior goals, but of this negotiation specifically. You take it slow and easy. You expect to feel uncomfortable when saying no. You may be so used to taking meetings during a negotiation that you struggle to figure out exactly what the agenda is for this meeting. But you also come to appreciate that, yes, by focusing on things you can control at every stage, such as agenda, the negotiation does move forward. Maybe quickly, maybe slowly, but forward. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's going nowhere. If so, you have the tools to figure out why. Is your M&P valid after all? Do you really understand your adversary's pain? Do they? Slowly, you acquire a sense of how the pieces of the puzzle can come together. That negotiation wraps up one way or the other. You think about how things went, then you pick another negotiation to do CAMP style, and you start again. First you crawl, then you walk, and then you dance. This is when it really gets fun. How long before you feel completely comfortable on the dance floor? Without training, I don't think you'll ever feel completely comfortable. The study and practice of negotiation is extraordinarily complicated, as you know. Every negotiation is different, and every human being is a handful, so to speak. Full and complete implementation of the system in this book requires a great deal of discipline, as I've stated time and again, and it's difficult to maintain such discipline in any endeavor when working alone. This is one reason why almost no top athletes train alone. So, how long before you're relatively comfortable? That may also be asking too much without training. How long before you feel a lot more comfortable than you may feel right now? You could reach that level in a couple of months, if you're a genius at this. It could be 6 months. It could be longer. It depends on how hard you work and your native talent. All I know is this. Every day you'll become more adept with the system and more confident that it works and more knowledgeable about how and why it works. Every day you'll be a better negotiator than you were yesterday. And one day, for the first time in your business life, you'll start to achieve at a level approaching your potential. I guarantee it. The 33 Rules. Every negotiation is an agreement between two or more parties, with all parties having the right to veto, the right to say no. Your job is not to be liked. It's to be respected and effective. Results are not valid goals. Money has nothing to do with a valid mission and purpose. Never, ever spill your beans in the lobby or anywhere else. Never enter a negotiation, never make a phone call without a valid agenda. The only valid goals are those you can control, behavior and activity. Mission and purpose must be set in the adversary's world. Our world must be secondary. Spend maximum time on pay-side activity and minimum time on non-pay-side activity. You do not need it. You only want it. No saving. You cannot save the adversary. Only one person in a negotiation can feel okay. That person is the adversary. All action, all decision, begins with vision. Without vision, there is no action. Always show respect to the blocker. All agreements must be clarified point by point and sealed 3 times, using 3+. The clearer the picture of pain, the easier the decision-making process. The value of the negotiation increases by multiples as time, energy, money, and emotion are spent. No talking. Let the adversary save face at all times. The greatest presentation you will ever give is the one your adversary will never see. A negotiation is only over when we want it to be over. No is good. Yes is bad. Maybe is worse. Absolutely no closing. Dance with the tiger. Our greatest strength is our greatest weakness. Emerson. Paint the pain. Mission and purpose drive everything. Decisions are 100% emotional. Interrogative-led questions drive vision. Nurture. No assumptions, no expectations, only blank slate. Who are the decision makers? Do you know all of them? Pay forward.